a great time on Valentine's Day, when Sunday, that rarely happens, but we had a good time. And the sweet treats were so good. Sister Sherry and Sister Maria were the sweet treat preparers, so we appreciate that. And again, thank you for your donations. And of course, tonight, fellowship and donations to Mother's Memorial. We appreciate you doing that and being mindful. 1 John 4 and 16. I'll read, and then you read, and then I'll read, and then you read 19. Okay, we'll stop at 19. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love.
We love him because he first loved us.
And that pretty much sums it up, doesn't it? Because of the relationship he invites us into, he gives birth in our lives too, and we thank God he loved us. Now, Valentine's Day, always a special time, and flowers and cards and treats and so on. The sad part is that sometimes people just let it end right there. Let that love continue. Amen. Amen. Even just small little things. You know, Astromeria is a type of flower, and it lasts for 2 weeks, and it's cheap. relatively speaking. But they look so nice, and you get a nice bouquet of them, and there's a variety of colors. And my wife and I are always just amazed at the differences that are there. Sometimes they've got little freckles. Sometimes they've got a green part on the stem, or not the stem, on the petal. And it's just very nice. So keep that in mind. You may be seated. Perfect love. Perfect love. I read these verses, and you know, we oftentimes refer to perfect love casting out fear, and praise God, that's a wonderful promise. But I got to thinking, well, what else is perfect about God? Well, everything, obviously. Everything about God is perfect. But the Word of the Lord contains these phrases or references to what is perfect besides his love. His knowledge is perfect, Job said. His work is perfect, Moses wrote in Deuteronomy. His way is perfect. And this is when David is celebrating the Lord's deliverance, you know, as we read from Psalm 18 on Sunday and made reference to how in 2 Samuel 22 is the same psalm. So David's celebrating, his way is perfect. And we know his will is perfect. Yes. It's acceptable, it's good, it's perfect. It's all of those things. It isn't tri-leveled. There aren't three levels, you know, oh, I'll settle for good. Or I'll settle for acceptable. No, it's perfect. Thank God that we can move in that realm. His law, referring to his word in Psalm 19, is perfect. His strength is perfect. It's made perfect in weakness. Yes. Amen. That's quite an exchange. We exchange our weakness for his strength, and he brings it into perfection. Praise God. Exactly what we need. And then his peace is perfect, Isaiah said. And thank the Lord that we find perfection in all of these aspects, and certainly his love. God is love. John, in this particular letter, 21, 22 chapters in the Gospel of John, and then 22 chapters in Revelation, and then these epistles are relatively short compared to that, but oh my goodness, the mention of love over and over is amazing, as he emphasizes that aspect. And in 1 John 3:1, He just has to step back, as it were, and say, behold, what manner of love. You know, he just, you can almost hear the exclamation. You can almost hear the inflection, the strength of his voice as he's saying it. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. We thank the Lord we're able to enter into that relationship with him. He's our Father. We're his sons and daughters. And thank God that is going to be an eternal relationship that the Lord has brought us into. How great is his love? The New English Bible declares it. Praise God and thank the Lord for his tremendous, perfect love. Now, perfect love is termed that. It's titled that because of several things. First of all, his perfect love is active. We're not talking about a philosophy, a concept, a principle, a teaching, a doctrine. It could be termed all of those things, I suppose, but it's way more than that. And thank God we know his love to be active. God so loved the world that he gave. And I'm thankful that he was willing to give so that there would be the outcome. Whosoever believeth, that's wide open. Praise God. And I thank the Lord that included us and it includes everybody. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, that's quite an invitation. That's quite an open door. And people have to believe to walk through it. They have to believe on his name. Amen. And thank God we have that opportunity and we can share the good news that everyone can. Now, we know John 3:16 has become commonplace, and in a way it should be. Everybody should be familiar with it. Athletes have declared it, and it's been, you know, just proclaimed in so many ways. But thank God it goes on from there. Verse 17, God sent his son to save the world, not to condemn it. The world was already condemned. There's already a condemnation that's hanging over the world. But thank God he came to save it. Romans 5 and 8 tells us about his love being commended toward us, or demonstrated. That's what commendeth means. It was demonstrated toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he talks about how, you know, for a righteous man, some would dare to die. Or for someone who is worthy, someone who you would be willing to give your life for, and so on. But while we were yet sinners, and the writer Paul goes on and says, we were enemies. We were without strength. In other words, he's saying there wasn't a whole lot of worth. There wasn't a whole lot of value in terms of righteousness, in terms of holiness. But he died for us, even when we were not worthy. And obviously, we don't become worthy, but he made the difference. Praise God. And that we were sinners, we were without strength, we were enemies. Thank God it ends. We were reconciled. Amen. Doesn't leave us out there, you know, without hope. But we were reconciled to God. And his death, though it's a negative thing, though it's a negative picture, thank God it has a positive impact for us because of the salvation that he brought. Sinners becoming saints is a miracle, the miracle of conversion. And we thank the Lord that we've had the opportunity to experience that. Amen. Now, the cross of Christ is love expressed. Again, I know it's not a pretty picture. It's not something that I know artists have worked with, the sculptors and so on, different ones. Thank God he's not on the cross now, but he was. He was, and that was the ultimate expression of love. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, said the preaching of the cross, this is chapter 1, verse 18 of the first letter to the Corinthians, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. We had to experience it to know it's the power of God. Not foolishness, not something we could just ignore or just look at though it's an event in history, and it doesn't have any bearing on me today in the 21st century. But thank God we know how powerful his blood is that was shed upon the cross. Those who consider it foolishness, unfortunately, are going to perish. But those who are saved recognize this is the power of God. It seems like weakness. It seems like it's not going to have a good outcome. But we know, of course, how the Lord turned it around and how we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Paul wrote that twice. He wrote it to the Ephesians, and then he wrote it to the Colossians. Redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Thank God that he provided that forgiveness by his powerful work of love on the cross. Christ crucified is a stumbling block to the Jews. They viewed the Messiah as a conquering king. The Messiah is a miracle worker. He's going to set up his kingdom. He's going to throw off the influence of the Greeks, get rid of the Romans, and ending up on the cross was not there. No, that's not what the Messiah is going to do. Ignoring, of course, passages like Isaiah 53 and various aspects that talked about in Psalm 22 and various references to the Messiah and the cross and the suffering and so on. But thank God the Lord had the outcome ahead of time. The Greeks thought it was foolishness. So here's huge populations, huge parts of the population at that time and the civilizations, the Hebrews, the Jews, and then the Greeks with all of their education and making education, learning, writing more common than it was. And to them, it's foolishness. But unto them which are called, Paul said in chapter 1, verse 24, unto them which are called. Aren't you glad you're called? Amen. Called out of darkness into his marvelous light. And them that come back with him in Revelation are called and chosen and faithful. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you for being faithful. Praise God. That's something we're proving now. That's something we're working through now. It's not going to be, I'll be faithful in the next 5 minutes, Lord. Wait for me. No, we're faithful now. Praise God. And when we come with him, that label will be applied to us as well. Unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Praise God. So the Lord was active. He showed his love. He demonstrated his love. He gave his love. And it's saving love. Amen. Love that resulted in changes for us. And we thank the Lord for that. Now, Mark, his gospel is the shortest one, but he mentioned the Lord's compassion as he records the miracles that the Lord did, or a few of the miracles that he did. I'll go through them real quick here. He healed the leper in 141 of Mark. He delivered the demoniac to be able to witness about the compassion of the Lord. All of these verses have reference to compassion, 519. He saw people as sheep without a shepherd, and his compassion reached out to them in 634. He took the lad's lunch, two fish, five loaves, and he multiplied it, and he fed the multitude because of his compassion in 8 and 2. He showed compassion in the healing of the son of the father who was crying out for compassion, pleading for the Lord to demonstrate his power in 9 and 22. So over and over, the demonstration of his compassion, and thank God he was able to make a difference. Not just commiserate, not just have empathy, sympathy, I know what you're feeling and so on. We have difficulty knowing what to say at times. But thank God we can share scripture, we can share hope, we can share faith, we can share what the Word of God says, and sometimes we just share tears and assure them, I'm praying, I know God will help and God will minister. How how can people say, you know, if you really had faith, if you, you know, and putting something on them, if you really had faith, you would get up and walk, you know, and stuff like that. Well, Lord bless them. I better get off of that one. Because there's no condemnation. I better read my nose here. No condemnation. Praise God. I mentioned in John 3:17, he was sent not to condemn the world, but to save the world. Unbelief is what brings condemnation. You read that in verse 18. Unbelief is going to result in the condemnation. But believing in his name, praise God, it steps right out there, the importance of the name. And they thank God that his name brings salvation. No condemnation became a reality for that poor woman who was drug out of her home, down the streets, to the temple of all places, and here's Jesus teaching. And they interrupt, and they demand to know. Moses said she should be stoned, and they already had stones in their hands. But what do you say? It was a trap. She was the bait. There was no mercy. There was no compassion. There was no kindness. But no one could cast the first stone. What a condition the Lord put on that. And thank God their conscience struck them. I would imagine there could have been some who stepped forward with a dishonest heart. And I'll throw the first stone, you know. But their conscience smote them. Their conscience grabbed a hold of them. And they had to drop their stones and walk away one by one. And then the Lord said, neither do I condemn thee. Praise God. Go and sin no more. It wasn't, you know, the world would like to say grace is going to set you free, and the Lord's grace is going to cleanse you, forgive you, cover you, provide for you, regardless of how you live. That's not what the Lord said here. He said, sin no more. And remember the man who was paralyzed for 38 years. The Lord told him the same thing. Go and sin no more. Amen. And thank God that we're able to respond because of love. Because of love. His love reaching out to us. Our love responding to him. And thank God. No condemnation. Romans 8 and 1. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. It's good to be in Christ Jesus. Amen. It's not just a phrase, it's a reality. And when you're in Christ Jesus, you're not walking after the flesh, but you're walking after the Spirit. Praise God. And that's how we stay in Christ. We're baptized into Christ. We are one in Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. We're all made to be baptized into Christ. Praise God. Galatians 3 and 27 and 28. I thank God that the Lord includes everybody. Everybody can be in Christ. Amen. And thank the Lord there isn't discrimination, there isn't prejudice, there isn't preference. The Lord opens it up to everybody. We are new creatures in Christ. Thank God. And I thank the Lord that our Creator knows how to create in us all things becoming new, old things passing away. Amen. There's both ends there that is working, isn't it? Amen. And thank God that the Lord knows how to work with his forgiveness, with his cleansing, and old things pass away, all of the burdens, all of the garbage, all of the trash, all of the hurts, all of that stuff, and all things become new. Amen. And thank God that for the power of the Lord. I told you that Satan has a good memory, and he'll dredge up all of this garbage. He'll remind you. You just read that verse. Amen. You grab a hold of that promise. Devil, old things are passing away, and you are going to too. Praise God. And we're going to have all things made new. You know, the Lord promises that. In Revelation 21, things are beginning to become new. Praise God. So we're saved by his love. Jesus is salvation. Joseph heard the words from the angel, call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Hebrews is unique in that it compares, looks at the differences between the Old and the New, the Old Testament and the New Testament and so on. And I thought it was unique that it talked about salvation so many times. And I found three. Maybe you'll find more. But Hebrews 2 and 3 talks about so great salvation. Hebrews 2 and 10 says that he is the captain of salvation. Hebrews 5 and 9 says he's the author of eternal salvation. Thank God there's an emphasis on salvation of what the Lord has provided in his once and for all sacrifice. We don't have to keep bringing the blood of bulls and goats and all of this mess. We're reading Leviticus now. My Lord, help us. Thank God that we're not in that book. Amen. His blood, his name, praise God. Acts 4 and 12, such a powerful statement about salvation and being saved. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We must be saved? We must be saved. So, establishing the name as far as the baptism, there it is. Salvation in that name. There's no other. And his love brought the saving name, the revelation of that name. His love brought God manifest in the flesh. His love brought the outpouring of the Spirit for redemption. Thank God for regeneration. Amen. No wonder perfect love casts out fear. It's what the Lord desires for us to do. Now, the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord is a phrase that you're going to see in the scripture many times, right? The fear of the Lord. We need to understand what the fear of the Lord means. And of course, the Bible is going to explain itself. Proverbs 1 and 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we understand, okay, the fear of the Lord, what does that mean? It's reverential awe. It's understanding God is so high. When he says, my thoughts are above your thoughts, they really are. My ways are not your ways. Amen. Thank God. His ways are so much better. And that's what we've got to desire, and that's what we've got to seek. That's what we've got to hold on to and walk in the fear of the Lord. Ecclesiastes 12, 13. It's too bad the wise man didn't continue in his wisdom. And he's writing about the conclusion here, the whole matter, the whole duty. He says, fear God, keep his commandments. And so we recognize, okay, that's what the whole matter comes down to. That's the whole duty of man. That's it summed up. Fear God, keep his commandments. Now, and again, we're not talking about lightning bolts flashing out of the heavens to zap you when you make a mistake. No, we're talking about our reverential aspect of God and not wanting to bring shame on his name, not wanting to smear the things of God and his reputation, if we can say it that way, but to exalt the Lord. 2 Corinthians 7, 1 makes reference to promises. What promises? The promises in chapter 6, where the Lord said, I will be your father. You will be my sons and daughters. I will be your God. You will be my people. Praise God. Incredible promises. And we thank the Lord for it. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in what? In the fear of God. That reverential awe again of how great our God is, who desires to have a relationship with us. And he brings changes, changes that are positive. The world has trouble with this idea of filthiness of the flesh and spirit. What? You know, and wanting to downplay it, wanting to say nobody's perfect, nobody, you know, nobody's going to be able to achieve, and so on. No, we recognize this is a relationship that the Lord has called us to. And in order to benefit from that relationship, keep that relationship, we're going to walk into the realm that God wants us to, praise God, and to know his power and his goodness. Now, let me clarify. Walking in holiness, walking with the cleansing of flesh and spirit doesn't mean God's going to love you more. I don't know that God could even love you more. He loves you to the nth degree already. But the relationship improves for you. You don't have to drag around the garbage that the world is trying to convince you you need to have, you need to experience, you need to be a part of, and so on. No. Thank God. We don't need that junk. Thank God we can move into the relationship that God has for us and know the blessings that are there. So this then casts out fear. Casts it out. Gets rid of it. Because fear hath torment. I'm thankful to know that the Lord is our comforter, not our tormentor. And again, this is where the world gets it all fouled up. They think coming to church, sitting here on a Thursday night, and then on Sunday again, and all of the stuff that goes along with serving God, that's such a burden, that's such a drag, that's such a hard life, and so many regulations. They need to experience it. They need to feel the presence and the power of God. Amen. And to know he casts out fear. Praise God and the power of the Lord. Now, fear has many faces. Fear has many facets. People are afraid of opinions of others, and so they're not going to go off the deep end like you have in serving God. You're going to just be in the middle of the road. The middle of the road is where you have accidents. You need to just go right. Praise God. Fear of rejection of family and friends. You know what's exciting? And many of you have had it happen. You hear Sister Phoebe's testimonies about her mom and dad receiving the Holy Ghost and being baptized in Jesus' name. How old were they, Sister Phoebe? How old was your dad? And they got the Holy Ghost, and they got baptized in Jesus' name. Praise God. Amen. You see, you don't fear the rejection. You're telling them, come on, experience this. Get a hold of it. Understand. Amen. And many of you have seen that happen. And praise God, we have that opportunity to encourage family and friends to join us. And if they reject, well, I'm glad the Lord didn't reject me. Praise God. Fear of breaking traditions, fear of superstitions. You know, the devil is going to come up with all kinds of fear. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. And he in his bag of tricks, he's got all kinds of fear as well. But I thank God the Lord casts out fear. What if it doesn't work? What if I give my tithes and offering and I go broke? What if I pray and nothing happens? What if I fast and I just am hungry? What if you go ahead and do it and see what happens? Praise God. And the Lord provides. Praise God. Because fear will try to bind you. Remember the parable of the talents? The one with five got five more. The one with two got two more. The Lord said, well done. The one with one. Now, what could he have done? He didn't even try to be productive. He didn't even invest it to at least get interest. Even it was 0.3%. He said, I was afraid. I was afraid. Fear will bind. Fear will hold you back. That's why the Lord says, my perfect love is going to cast out fear. Praise God. Amen. Hebrews 2:15, there's a bondage that is talked about there. And then we said fear will bind, the fear of death. I thank the Lord that Jesus destroyed the devil's power. His death defeated the devil. Praise God. And he delivers those who, through fear of death, were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That's a horrible bondage. Amen. And what's the story? I can't remember how it came about. Maybe the man was in the doctor's office, and the doctor was telling him the bad news and so on, and how, he only has a little bit of time and so on. I can't remember how it goes. But anyway, the outcome is he says, you can't threaten me with heaven. And or however that story goes, I made a big mess of that, didn't I? Don't let fear bind you and keep you in bondage, especially death. Now, death is fearful because we don't know. We've not been there before. We know how final it is with our loved ones. We know how things change drastically. But oh my, what's it going to be like? You know, we sang about it. I can only imagine. Praise God. How amazing that's going to be. Amen. Don't let fear of death keep you in bondage. Claim that blessing from the Lord, because his love displaces fear in his divine plan. You go on in chapter 2 of Hebrews, verse 17, he's a merciful and faithful high priest, and he makes reconciliation for the sins of the people. Thank God that there's that reminder. Verse 18, he himself has now been through suffering and temptation. This is the Living Bible. He knows what it is like when we suffer and are tempted, and he is wonderfully able to help us. Praise God. I love that. Amen. So we face fear with our Father's perfect love. So what's the opposite of fear? What word would you think of that's the opposite of fear? Faith? Boldness?
Peace.
Okay. Trust. And what did you say, Sister Phoebe? Courage. All right. Lots of opposites of fear, isn't there? Praise God. Every one of them, I think, can qualify to be an opposite of fear. Boldness is what we see in Scripture. Boldness. Praise God. John wrote in the text here that we read, we may have boldness, even in the day of judgment. Praise God, a boldness. Now, Peter and John were on their way to the temple at the hour of prayer. It was 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and they were, here they go. And there's the lame man begging, and Peter said, silver and gold have I none, such as I have, give I thee. And if the man was hoping for coins, silver, gold, whatever, didn't happen. But he got what silver and gold could not buy anyway. Praise God. Such as I have, give I thee. Brother Pugh, elder preacher, came to the Bible school and was talking about witnessing and how he gave an example of someone trying to tell about the joy of the Holy Ghost. But he did it in a deadpan face. You know, the Holy Ghost is so wonderful. It's joy unspeakable, full of glory. Don't you want what I have? And then he acted, reaction of the person he was talking to. No, no, is it catching? Is it contagious? No, I don't want that. Praise God. It's comical, it's humorous, but the point is, be glad you've got it. Be excited about what the Lord has done for you. Amen. Be quick to testify about what you've seen the Lord do. Amen. And thank God for his power and his goodness. Amen. Hallelujah. We've had Brother Sørsted teach here before, married to my wife's sister. And his daughter has got quite a testimony of the Lord providing for her and ministering to her. She was asked to speak at a ladies' conference, and she's a young lady, has a degree in counseling, but she kind of said, well, what am I going to do? I don't have any stories. I don't have many experiences. What am I going to tell them? And she was driving home on the freeway, I-84, lots of trucks, lots of traffic, going along the Columbia River and so on, and her hood blew up. The catch or something didn't work, and up it came against the windshield. She's going down the freeway at freeway speeds, and the hood is in her windshield. Fortunately, she was able to slow down and move over to the side, settle down from her shakes, and called her dad. So he came to give her a hand, got the hood back down, and got it secure, and made sure everything was good. Then, just before she was to drive off, he said, well, now you have a story. Such as I have, give I thee. Now, in Acts 4, the disciples prayed for boldness. They prayed for boldness, praise God. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. The place was shaken. God was letting them know, I've heard you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to provide for you. Praise God. And he gave them boldness to speak the word of God. They testified about his resurrection. Amen. John is a good example of conquering fear with love. 1 John 5:3. It would be a good one, Brother Levi, to put up. 1 John 5:3, the connection between love and commandments. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Praise God. And we've experienced that. We know how real it is. John was a preacher exiled in prison on the island of Patmos. Talk about a downer. A bummer. A really bad thing. He's 90 plus. And in his sunset years, his golden years, he's got to protect himself from the worst criminals in the empire. But he wrote scripture. Praise God. He wrote the Revelation. And I wonder, from when he was a young man, 70 years before, or even 80 years before, and he's doing the scripture things, you know, that a Jewish young boy has to do, and he's remember. I wonder if he remembered Jeremiah 31:3. Jeremiah 31:3, no doubt, is one that would be good to remember, for us to remember. Praise God. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. That's a good one for us to memorize. We're in situations sometimes that are testing, that are tempting, that are tough. Amen. But thank God, John could remember those scriptures. He could remember what the Lord said. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Did the Lord come to him on the island of Patmos? Yes, he did. Praise God. And oh my, what John recorded there in the blessings of the Lord. He remembered his love. He wrote about it in the first chapter in verse 7. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Praise God. Don't you know John was so thankful for the blessings of the Lord. Amen. And he remembered what his voice sounded like. And he heard the Lord say, fear not. Praise God. Oh my. And then he started writing what the Spirit said. And the first message, was Ephesus the first church? Is that the first one that's mentioned? There's some firsts that are talked about there. You have left your first love. How in the world can you do that? You've left your first love. Now, the Lord commended their works, their labor. It's kind of the same thing. I don't know why they're separate there, but the Lord knows your works, your labor, your patience. Then he says, I want you to do the first works. The first works. Now, we're not going to get into a discussion here about faith versus works. We know what the Spirit's talking about here. Do the first works. Let your heart be a heart of repentance. Let your spirit feel after the Spirit of God. Be sensitive what the Lord is trying to say to you. Spend time in His Word. Memorize His Word, because there's going to be the attack of the devil, and you're going to have to remember the Lord said, I have drawn you with an everlasting love. Praise God. You're going to be able to hold on to that. Thank the Lord. Being hungry and thirsty for the things of God. Seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all things can be added to you. Praise God. That's the first works. And then we let the Lord continue to do His work in our lives. Because our love is made perfect. Is that what the text said? Did the text say our love? Made perfect? Verse 17. See, that's got to be the outcome. That's got to be the working of the Lord in our lives. Herein is our love made perfect. Just as Jesus demonstrated His love, we are to show our love. Faith and obedience are strong demonstrations of our love for the Lord. He said it several times, John 14 and 15. This is Old Testament as well. You can find it in the Old Testament. If you love me, keep my commandments. It's there. 1 John 5 and 3, we read that. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. Jesus said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And thank God. There's a love of Christ that comes from Him to us, and then a love of Christ that is reciprocated, our love for Him. The love of Christ constraineth us. That word constrain, in other translations, is compels. It overmasters. It controls. It's the spring of our actions. It leaves us no choice. I like that. We have no choice but to respond with love because of His love for us. Now remember in the text, along with verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, it goes on to say, as He is, so are we in this world. I'm almost done. God's love pushes us out to spread the word to the lost. He said, teach and make disciples. Amen. Your mission is to seek and to save the lost. You have power to witness. Your purpose is eternal. We're not just talking about temporal. We're talking about eternal. His promises are for you to be fruitful, and that fruitfulness is to go on forever. Praise God. And we thank the Lord that there is that power and blessing that we have in Him. Don't let anything limit your love for the Lord. Nothing. Now Jesus warned, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I think we're in that hour. I think we're definitely there. Iniquity is abounding. Iniquity is everywhere. It slams us all the time. Don't let your love for the Lord grow cold. Amen. Hold on to it. Don't let your love be misplaced. The love of the Father is not in Him, John said. What caused that? The love of the world. Love of the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Don't let it be misplaced. Don't let it be displaced. Amen. Most important, my love for the Lord has got to increase. And here's the last two verses. 1 Thessalonians 3 and 12. We're talking about the increase of the love that God has for you. The Lord make you to increase and abound in love. Love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Paul writing, and of course, making that admonition, increase and abound. Let that love grow. Let that love increase. Praise God. And Thessalonians warns about people not receiving a love for the truth. And salvation is tied to that. And so we understand, okay, I can't let my love have limits. I've got to let it grow. And love for the truth, obviously, has to excel and exceed anything that we might experience here in this world. And then last, 2 Timothy 1 and 13, Paul is admonishing a young pastor, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Stand with me now, please. That admonition of Paul, the sound words, the doctrine, the teaching, the experience in the Lord. You've heard these things from me. You know these things. Let your faith and your love in Christ Jesus just continue, just grow, just increase. Praise God, and thank the Lord that there is that opportunity we have. Can we come and pray here for a few minutes? We're looking forward to fellowship downstairs, but I'd like for us to just ask the Lord, let my love for you grow, Lord. Your love for me, Lord, is amazing. Amazing grace, amazing love. I thank God for what he's done for us. And now I just want somehow for the stops to be taken out of the way, whatever might be holding us back, and just move into even greater love for the Lord, incredible love for the Lord, love that is sold out, and letting the Lord be at work in our lives. Can we just give him thanks for his love and then commit our love to him? Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ.